Hey there, all you guys and gals, you hep cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Tales from the Flip Side, syndicated on the Diesel Punk Podcast Network. And I am your host, John Pica, the artist also known as the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny. And on this episode, I'm going to share my review of the Marvel movie Black Panther. But before we do that, we need to acknowledge one of our new sponsors, Vault. That's V-A-L-T. If you guys are like me, you occasionally forget passwords to websites and applications, and you got to go through the whole reset my password or remind me my password, and you go through three or four different passwords that it could potentially be, and you swear to God you know the password and it should be the right one for this login, but to no avail. You got to go through the whole process. Happens to me all the time. Seems like lately on a daily basis. Either my memory is that bad or I'm just getting old. No comment. But that's where Vault comes in. V-A-L-T. They are here to help you. And Vault is a visual password manager. They capture all of your existing passwords and lock them in a vault guarded with NSA-approved encryption. They protect the vault behind a series of memorable images that only you know. And Vault trains you on those images using proven techniques from psychology and cognitive science. The images that they produce that connect to the vault are memorable, and the training process is fun and easy. In short, Vault is sexy password management. It's so easy to use. I've started using it. And since I've started using it, I don't have to reset my password anymore. You can download Vault for Mac and iPhone today at vault.io/tales. That's vault.io/tales, T-A-L-E-S. And when you do that, you register to win a $100 gift card. Again, that's vault.io/tales and register to win a $100 gift card. And that will be awesome. Thank you, Vault, for sponsoring this episode of Tales from the Flip Side. Now, let's get into my review. And as a warning, you guys know that I am apt to disclose a lot of spoiler information. So I'm going to give you that warning right up front. There may be spoilers. There may not be. This may be spoiler-free because, well, let me put it to you this way. The previews didn't leave out very many plot details. If you've seen the trailer, you've pretty much seen the movie. The movie is about the Black Panther, T'Challa, played by Chadwick Boseman, becoming the king of Wakanda and being coronated as king after the death of his father, the previous king, T'Chaka. And that happened in Avengers Civil War. So Civil War is kind of the prequel to this movie. And there are a lot of scenes from Civil War setting up that event and you know how we got where we are. T'Challa is challenged by Eric Killmonger. Killmonger is his nickname, his code name given to him by the CIA. He is the son of N'Jobu, who is the cousin, or the uncle, rather, of T'Challa, and who could have been a successor to the throne because, anyway, family royal politics, okay, is what this plot is revolving around. And for those of you who love, you know, royal politics and political, you know, drama surrounding royal families, you're going to love this movie. Now, I let me just preface this by saying that there was nothing in this movie that I didn't like. However, that is not the same thing as loving this movie. There were certainly scenes in it that I did love, and there were characters that I absolutely loved. But overall, as a movie, and I know I'm going to come under criticism for this, but overall, as a movie, as a comic book adaptation movie, I did not find it to be one of Marvel's stronger offerings. I know all of the critics are gushing about it, and maybe it's a little bit politically incorrect for me not to gush about the first movie with a, you know, featuring a black superhero lead. I love the concept of the movie. I love the character. I have no issues with any of the casting. The casting was outstanding. It's just that the story for me was not very compelling. Not as compelling as a lot of the other Marvel movies. And a lot of parts of this movie felt very derivative. It felt very derivative to me of the Thor franchise in terms of, you know, the technology and the cityscapes. You know, there was a lot of Asgard, there was a lot of Sakaar in those designs. And of course, that's going to be the case because it all harkens back to Jack Kirby's original designs, right? And as a love letter to Jack Kirby, this movie succeeds in the same way that the first Thor movie did. But it also had elements that I felt I had seen in Marvel movies before. In particular, the train fight scene deep under Wakanda between Killmonger and the Black Panther felt like the same fight we saw in Ant-Man, between Ant-Man and Yellowjacket. There was a lot of derivative material, I felt. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and they're going to say that this was a fresh, original, bold movie. And from a social, cultural standpoint, yes, this is an important, impactful movie. And I appreciate that on every level. However, from a straight-up engaging film, it just didn't engage me the same way that a lot of other movies do. And, you know, if I'm going to rank Marvel movies, Captain America, The Winter Soldier is the absolute best. I would follow that with Captain America Civil War. And then most recently, Thor Ragnarok was just a great, fun movie. And then after those, you know, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, First Avenger, you know, those are kind of my top five, I guess you would say, maybe six. And Black Panther doesn't fit into that top ranking. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I just didn't love it. And you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, I'm content having seen it once. And, you know, I don't have this overriding urge to go see it again. You know, like when I saw Greatest Showman, I've seen that 3 times in the theaters now. I wanted to just go see that over and over and over. I saw Thor Ragnarok 2 times. And, you know, movies that I really, really love, I'm going to go see multiple times. Spider-Man Homecoming, I saw 3 times in the theater. And, you know, this one, you know what? I'm content to wait for it to come out on home video in a few months and maybe see it again. And please don't misunderstand me. It's not a bad movie. It's beautiful in its cinematography. You know, there's a lot of, again, cultural impact. There's some cool spiritualism that is in the movie. The soundtrack is phenomenal because they use so much of the authentic African sounds. But, and it didn't fail for me. It didn't miss the mark. I just didn't love it. I hope that makes sense. Now, let's talk about some of the performances here. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. This is the best I've seen, the best role I've seen him in. Michael B. Jordan. Really, really strong performance. Really strong. And he actually created a villain that you can relate to and empathize with. And spoiler alert, you know, per Marvel's penchant with villains, he dies at the end, and you really didn't want to see that happen. You really wanted to see T'Challa save him. Let's see. I'm going to butcher some of these names, so forgive me ahead of time. Lupita Nyong'o? Nyong'o? I think that's how you pronounce that. Lupita plays Nakia. Denai Guria plays Okoye, and you'll remember Denai as Michonne from The Walking Dead. If you thought she was a badass on Walking Dead, you ain't seen nothing yet. And this character was my favorite of the movie. She is the general of the warrior women of Wakanda. And, I mean, gives the Amazons of Themyscira, or Themyscira, a run for their money. She was phenomenal. And my favorite scene was her in the red dress in the casino. And, you know, popping that spear out of thin air. And, golly. And you know what? I got to say this. This movie made me a fan of shaved head women. The warrior women are all bald, and golly, were they hot. Let's see. Forrest Whitaker is in this film. Angela Bassett plays the mother of T'Challa, the queen of Wakanda, Ramonda. Andy Serkis is Claw, and Martin Freeman is Everett Ross, and let's see, where is the girl who played Siri? Here she is. Letitia Wright plays Shuri. So, and then there are a lot of other characters throughout. Winston Duke, Sterling K. Brown, some of the actors. Anyway, really, really strong cast. Really strong cast. And we got to see Claw with his new arm cannon, sonic cannon. You remember he lost his arm in Age of Ultron. He's had it replaced with a sonic cannon. Now, spoiler alert, the major plot point revolving around this is T'Challa's mission to bring Claw to justice for stealing vibranium and, you know, basically being responsible for the death of Wakandans and the family of Wakabi. And again, this is a problem that Marvel has with their villains. Claw ends up dead in this movie. Killmonger, you know, kills him and drags him back to Wakanda as his trophy, the proof of his dedication to Wakanda. And I thought that was such a waste of the character of Claw. You know, we see him use his sonic cannon, you know, a few times, and that's it. And the character in the comics has such a long history, you know, a member of the Masters of Evil. He doesn't just shoot sonic waves. He can create sonic constructs, shapes, and structures. And, you know, Andy Serkis did a great performance, you know, really captured the psychotic nature of this character. And, you know, in the comics, Claw is a little bit cuckoo. And Serkis really captured that and did a great, great job. And it was really a shame that he got taken out in this movie. And Marvel, if you keep killing off your villains every movie, what do you do in the future? Why is there a need for any of these heroes running around? And how are we going to get a Masters of Evil? I'm just saying. Martin Freeman plays Everett K. Ross. I did not like his character in Civil War. I thought he was a jerk, douchebag. This movie turned me around. They really turned Ross into a hero. A selfless hero. And I would like to see, this is my wish list here. If I had my way in the MCU, I would like to see S.H.I.E.L.D. reformed with Ross, Maria Hill, Daisy Johnson, Phil Coulson, basically the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. team, plus Ross and Maria Hill. That's what I would like to see. But those four as the primary core group. Oh, and Sharon Carter. So Ross, Sharon Carter, Maria Hill, Daisy Johnson, Phil Coulson. That would be a great S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, I didn't feel that way about Ross until this movie. I could have cared less about Ross in Civil War, but he was really good, really good. Again, Okoye, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, was great. And really loved Danai. Shuri, as the lead science minister of Wakanda, was phenomenal. Now, here is where I think, I have the hiccups. Here's where I think they missed a great opportunity. And I talk about this quite a bit with Marvel franchises, how I feel like, especially in the films and TV, that they have been a series of missed opportunities. And in this case, I feel like they missed the opportunity to really connect on a deeper level to the rest of the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was very much a standalone story. Yes, they showed flashbacks and referenced events from Captain America Civil War. But what would have been nice is, you know, Shuri is the one creating all of this amazing tech in Wakanda. What would have been great is to have seen her say something of the effect of, you know, I'll bet you Tony Stark doesn't have anything like that. Or, you know, when Ross is, you know, trying to figure out the technology in Wakanda and kind of marveling, for her to say, yeah, let's see Tony Stark build something like that. That would have been fantastic. And, you know, there was a lot of mysticism in this movie where both T'Challa and Killmonger access the astral plane. They called it the plane of the ancestor plane. And, you know, this is the realm of Doctor Strange. And I would have loved to have seen, you know, some kind of tie-in or reference to that. And we don't really get very many references to the larger MCU. You know, Shiri does say when they bring Ross in, who has had a bullet go through his spine, she says, "Oh, good, another white boy to fix." And she's referencing the Winter Soldier. You remember Captain America left him in T'Challa's care to repair his arm and his cybernetics and heal him. But we don't see him until, spoiler alert, the post-credit scenes. And we do see the Winter Soldier minus his arm in the care of Shuri. That was good. But, you know, that was a long time to wait for the after credits to see that tie-in. I would have liked to have seen that sooner and really seen closer references and closer tie-in to the rest of the MCU. And this is just my general bugaboo with the franchise in general, is that, you know, they've promised us this, you know, this rich interconnected universe. And yes, we know that they all live in the same universe. We get that. But what we're not seeing is that, you know, interconnectivity. And I get it. You know, filmmakers, directors, and writers are hesitant to have everything tied together every time. You know, they don't want to feel like they're beholden to other franchises. But at the same time, that's what Marvel Comics is all about. And that's what Marvel Studios has promised us as fans, that we would see this, you know, interconnected universe. Now, we're going to get the payoff on that in Avengers Infinity War. Something like 67 characters? I mean, that's insanity. But one of the things that Black Panther did do was to, you know, entice us to see the Wakandan warriors fighting in the war against Thanos' forces. If you want to see what that is going to be like with the Wakandan warrior women, the guerrilla warriors of the mountains, the rhinoceros warriors, you know, see this movie, and it will really whet your appetite for Infinity War in that regards. Again, a lot of great moments in this movie. A lot of fun stuff. And there wasn't anything I did not like. But I wanted to love it more. And I just felt like it was an adequate entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm going to get heat for that. But, you know, that's how I felt. And it's strictly from a story element standpoint. There were things that I would have done differently as a director and producer. But anyway, that's my two cents. And I would love to hear your thoughts about the Black Panther. Agree or disagree? Send me an email. You can send it to two different places, feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com, or directly to me, BigDaddyCool@BigDaddyCoolShows.com. Make sure you connect with us online, www.BigDaddyCoolShows.com or DieselPunkPodcast.com. Visit us and connect with us on social media. You can visit the websites and click on the social media icon of your choice, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Pinterest, YouTube, whatever it is. And while you're at it, check out the YouTube series, Tales from the Flip Side, on YouTube. It is syndicated through graphicpolicy.com. No Fan Left Behind, game reviews, comic reviews, magic performances, my live performances. Check that out. And if you like what we do with the podcasts and the videocasts and the live shows, and even my book of the same title, Tales from the Flip Side, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens, make sure you drop a tip in our digital tip jar at patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And by doing that, you help us keep the content free and produce more content. And it just shows us that you really appreciate what we're doing. And I would appreciate that a lot. As you're listening to this, I am on my way to AnacroCon in Atlanta, Georgia. I'll be performing Friday night the 16th, doing Tales from the Flip Side Live. The live show, which features magic and music from the book Tales from the Flip Side. Saturday night, I'll be performing the Magic Cabaret, which is more of the music side with magic, and the Bombshell Kittens alongside with me, Tina Vita and Mitzi Malone. All day Saturday at AnacroCon, we're doing panels and workshops, Unleash Your Superpowers, What is Diesel Punk, and then Sunday, Podcasting 101. And we're going to be live streaming all weekend from the con on Facebook Live, and we'll be posting it and recording some separate videos on YouTube. But if you want to watch the live stream all weekend, No Fan Left Behind, make sure you visit and like my Facebook page, facebook.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And click on the follow icon so that you'll get the notifications when we do go live. And that's the only way you'll see it live. Otherwise, you'll have to wait for it to be posted on YouTube in about 3 or 4 days. All right, guys and gals, that is it for me for this episode and my review of Black Panther. Again, if you agree, if you like what, if you like my review, let me know. If you disagree, let me know. You can send me an email, post a comment at Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do. That would be great. And make sure you check out our sponsor, Vault, V-A-L-T, and visit vault.io/tales. That's vault.io/tales, T-A-L-E-S, vault.io/tales. And register to win a $100 gift card. And that will be awesome. Well, guys and gals, until the next time, swing hard, swing often, and we'll catch you on the flip side.